Welcome back to another episode of Saving Great. Before we begin, big news, everyone, big news. No one's died, but I am in love, okay? I'm off the market. I'm off it. I wasn't even on the market, to be fair, but I'm off it. I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm going to give her a nickname called Eyelashes. So whenever I refer to eyelashes, I am talking about the love of my life. I'm in love. And yeah, it has been 3 weeks, but that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I manifested this. I said on my last podcast, I said, I want a woman with calves. I want a woman who does football. And she came to me like a dream. It was like an epiphany. My halo's all over the shop. Sorry, Jesus doesn't like the fact that I'm gay. She came to me like a dream and I'm obsessed. Is this, I feel like I've been missing out. I feel like men, I went very wrong with men. I don't like men anymore. I will never go back to a man, God forbid. Yeah, I just love it. I just love it. I feel like, don't know. I feel like I've got spring in my step. I feel like I'm glowing. It's the lesbian glow. I've got it. And yeah, that's my life update. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever hard launch though, just because I have been scared off that. And much trauma, many tears. But for now, it's eyelashes and I can't fucking wait. I had been suffering with a hangover of all hangovers, I'm going to be honest. And I got paralytic drunk, okay? Meeting her friends, her sister was there, thought, you know, let's keep some composure. Did I? No. We ended up going to this club and there was a woman with her titties out, dancing on fire in a cage. And let me also just preface, at this point, I was already blackout drunk. The guy got us a table and he said, to have this table, you have to spend 1.5K. I said, first of all, that doesn't sound right. But in my drunk state, I spent 1.5K on a bottle of vodka. I don't even like vodka that much. I don't even drink it that much anymore. I drink Prosecco. So I had so many regrets. We got a taxi home with our friends. I passed out, mouth open. So I can no longer see our friends. I feel like I've made an awful introduction. I keep getting like flashbacks, awful flashbacks to cringe things that I did that I'm hoping no one remembers, but people keep bringing up. So they definitely do remember. It's an issue. And then I woke up the next day, hungover in her family home. Her mum rings. She said, you sang down the phone to me last night. I said, please, please. I had to sit outside. It was 9 a.m. I sat outside. I had to rejuvenate myself. I had half a crumpet. Her dog ate the other half. And that was that, really. Had an awful time. Had an awful time with the hangover. But yeah, let's give life updates. What have I been doing? Well, I released a PLT edit, which by the way, actually bangs. If you haven't seen it already, it bangs. Buy the tracksuit. It's really comfy and it's not cuffed. I hate a cuff. I did a shoot for it. It's really weird. So I went to this house in Bromley and I went upstairs and there was like this bath in this massive room. Like it looked like Hugh Hefner's bedroom. And I didn't realise the woman that owned the house was there. And I walk in, and I said, the people that own this house are definitely swingers. You do not have that bedroom and not fucking that bath. That is not the route. And the woman was stood there and I was like, I'm so sorry for calling you a swinger. She was a bit of a, like, she was an older lady, bless her. And I thought, no, she can't be getting her hips around that bath, surely. Was that rude? I didn't mean that. That did come across rude. I'm sorry. I just meant it was a, I'm going to move on. I did the shoot. I did about 400 changes in a day. And then after that shoot, I went to the PLT birthday party in London. If you know about a PLT party, you know every fucker's there. To my left, Married at First Sight. To my right, a Love Islander. To my up, we've got Messy Mitch. I don't know. There's just so many people there that I'm just like, oh my God. And it is rammed in there. It is rammed. I get stuck talking to different people and I'm getting drunker and drunker and I'm just saying more shit that I shouldn't be saying. I saw Chris Taylor. He said, hello, I'm Chris. I said, no, I know who you are. I watched All Stars. And he definitely didn't know who I was because he went, yeah, I've seen your stuff. And I thought, you don't have to lie. It's completely fine. You don't have to lie. Did I see anyone else interesting? No, I did get started on there though. I did get started on, I won't go into that, but someone very aggressively came up to me and cornered me. And I thought, oh my God, this is the end. This is the end. I'm going to have a scrap at the PLT party. This is absolute hell. But no, I made it out alive. I left with Izzy, of course. Izzy's one person, right, that I can look at in any situation, whether I've been there 5 minutes or an hour, and say, should we go home? And she will, without thinking, say, yes, let's go home and let's stop at McDonald's on the way. And it's an absolute dream. Let me just hydrate myself. I've been yapping. I've been in love. Gorgeous. First of all, let me tell you about my week last week. What a bucking, What a fucking week. So if you don't follow me, I've been getting up at the arse crack of dawn every morning, 5 a.m. for shoots. The other week, I was up at 5 a.m. 4 days in a row. I flew to Scotland for 2 hours and it was pissing it down with rain. They gave me free shortbreads and I said, this isn't cutting it. I'm fucking freezing. Then I got pissed as a fart on the way home because I thought there's no other way that I can do this. And then I had to stay in a hotel to film with PLT, which should be coming out soon. I'm in a taxi and I put it on my story, not thinking that you all are sick fucks. And everyone was saying that I did fake taxi. And I just want you to know, if the offer did come, I would do it. Love fake taxi. I think it's all a bit of fun. The guys, you know, he's a proper London guy. You know, it's all very fun. And I'm here for whatever kinks people may have. Although I did get a black cab here, and I was thinking on the way here, this man has no idea that I'm rumoured to have done fake taxi. He better watch himself. Could have got my tits out. I wouldn't have, because I'm wifed. Come on. Oh! So the last time I was here, when I filmed a podcast, I had to get ready for the Back to Black premiere, which, by the way, the film is so good. I know it got loads of shit online because the woman didn't sound like Amy Winehouse, whatever. The film is really good. I feel like it didn't show her dad and Blake to be as much of assholes as they were, allegedly. Don't sue me. But it was a really good film. I love Amy Winehouse. I thought it was absolutely amazing. And I feel like she actually did play her quite well. You know, she did all the arm movements. She had a fucking horseshoe on her arm. What more can you ask for? It was great. But before I went, I'd bought this dress, which I didn't realise was so see-through, right? And I'm quite a confident girl. I can get my tits out after a Prosecco anywhere, anytime, you know, a church, a club, wherever you need, my titties will be out. But on this occasion, the tits were titting. And I had to really take into consideration that when you get there, you get your photos taken by the peps. And I thought, flash, nipple. I don't know if it's respectful because Amy's family was there. And, you know, I don't know Amy Winehouse, but I think she would have wanted me to get my tits out. But I thought, you know, let's be respectful. Let's do it. So I'm thinking, what can I do? Nipple cover? No, because it looked like I had massive burger areolas. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, the rumors start. So I thought, right, I had to sit and cut up a bra and duct tape it to my tits. And I don't really like the way it looked. I think I should have gone braless because it just kind of looks like, I don't know what it looks like, but it wasn't the vision that I was going for. And it was falling down. I had lopsided tits. It was, don't go on Getty Images, all right? Because they're the unedited version. If you go on my Instagram, that's a Hollywood 4, a FaceTan 1, a small nose and a cinched in waist. And that's how I want you to see me. Not on Getty Images, all raw and horrible. I can't do that. But yeah, I went to that premiere. It was sensational. It was great. 10 out of 10 would recommend. If you haven't watched already, go and watch it. It wasn't an ad. It kind of sounded a bit addy, but it wasn't an ad. Oh, guys, I've got a show coming out with Nella Rose. I actually filmed this on my two only days off from my tour. So I went in fucked. I was absolutely obliterated. So I went in, got my glam done, and there was a little chihuahua on the set, and it was meant to be my chihuahua. I called it Biggie Smalls because it was small. See what I mean? It's a little fun pun. And yeah, it's basically a bitch dragon's den. Like, people come and pitch their crazy mental businesses to us, and we decide whether we're gonna like pitch it so we share it on our social medias and give them a boost, right? It was so fun. We also had some like guest judges with us. We had Shits and Gigs. We had Tony Bello. I watched him on I'm a Celeb last year. So when he walked in, I was like, Tony, I acted like we were mates. And I kept saying the most like vile, because you know my humor, I'm very vulgar. I was saying some vile shit. I said once, this is what really made us become friends here, is there was a rug cleaner. And I said, how like big and fluffy rug wise can you clean? And he was like, oh, the really fluffy ones we can't clean. I looked at Tony, I said, I guess I'm out then. And he looked at me with such pure disgust that I thought, fair enough, I've overstepped the line here. Hairy muff was not a conversation with Tony. But just to confirm, it is like a dolphin down there. It's not hairy. It's not the 80s. But if yours is, that's fine. I've gone off track. I've got a new show. I think it's called Boss Pitches. I'm unsure. There was a lot of changes with the names. I've also decided I think I need to give up vapes. Sorry, I'll just put the silence there for you to digest what I just said. I think I need to give up the vapes, right? I'm chuffing about 3 vapes a day. I'm talking crystal bars. We're not talking Lost Marys. I'm talking crystals, right? The hard hitters. It's like, you know, if you smoke fags, we're not talking a Benson's and Hedges, nice little minty one. We're talking Marlboro Golds. And I think I don't want to be that woman who's on a ventilator. I don't want to be that woman. Do you know what I mean? So I think after today, when this vape runs out, I'm going to try and give up. I've said it. No more lemon and lime. And I've seen recently people have been using toothpicks, which, first of all, what the fuck? It's nowhere close to a vape, but like flavored. Look, even me breathing in, can you hear the wheeze? I'll do it to you again. Hold on. Did you hear that? Oh, I've got emphysema. But I'm going to try some flavored toothpicks and I'm just going to go like that and I can live my long, natural, healthy life. Because as well, like, eyelashes doesn't smoke or anything like that. So I feel like a nitty being like, where's my vape? Like when I lose it in the bed, I'm tearing the fucking house up. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing for a vape? And I'm like, yeah, you don't understand. So yeah, that's my update on my life. I'm going to give up vaping. I'm going to be fucking don't know what. I'm just going to be a skinny legend and hope for the best. Guys, this one, I'm going to need some sad music, maybe an opera, a light opera in the background. I went home this weekend. I haven't been home in like a month, right? And I thought, look, I've got to go home because my cat's 18. He may die at any point. So, and you know, I don't want my last memory of me to be like a month ago. So I went to go see him. I get in my house. I'm laying on the sofa and my cat's got this blanket, right? It's like this horrendous bright orange thing, but he loves it. So we can't get rid of it, right? And he sits on it like a king. So I'm wrapped up. I don't care if it's disgusting. I'm wrapped up in this blanket because it's cold. My parents refused to put the heating on because we're in a living crisis. It's hell. So I'm sat there, laid there. Monty's on me, stroking him, telling him how much I love him, telling him, please don't die. Please don't die. I don't have the mental health for that yet. So anyway, he then just jumps off. And I'm like, rude, but fair. He's got shit to do. You know, he's 18. He hasn't got long left. Like he, whatever he needs to do, he needs to do. So he gets off and I'm still a bit cold. So I go and pull the blanket. And when I say I pull the blanket up, I'm talking to my mouth. To my mouth. I then do a little. Why do I smell shit? Pure shit particles are running up my nose. I'm taken aback. I jump off the sofa. I'm screaming at this point. I'm gagging. My mum's like, what? I'm like, smell that fucking blanket now. Smell the blanket. I'm making everyone in the house smell the blanket. There is an ood of shit. My cat has wiped his ass on the blanket. I've digested his shit and it was on my mouth. It was on my mouth and I was wearing fucking Vaseline, so it stuck to my mouth. I have shit on me. I go upstairs, I wipe my mouth, I'm effing and blinding this fucking cat. I come downstairs and I look at it and I think, you are a prick. I had a go at it and I never usually have a go at Monty. If he's sick, if he brings in a live rabbit with one leg, I'm not fussed, I just let my parents deal with it. But this one was where it drew the line. Shit for me, and you know me and shit don't mix, I'll barely do anal. I will not fuck about with any of those things. I'm not a pegger, I'm not anything like that. Assholes are meant to be kept as assholes. I've gone off on one. What was my point? My point is it really upset me. Anything to do with shit is where I draw the line. you know, sometimes you think about these girls in Dubai getting their chest shat on. And I just think, no, Tesco pay just as well. Tesco, actually, back in the day, when everyone wanted to work at Tesco, because theirs was like 10 quid an hour. It was obscene and absurd. So yeah, if you've ever been shat on, by the way, send in. I'd love to know your experience, because I know people mess about with golden showers and stuff, but I don't know. I think a golden shower, I could stretch myself to possibly piss on someone if I drank 3 gallons of water, because then it's basically just water. Do you know what I mean? I've just hydrated them. Why have I just said that? But I'm not looking to do that anytime soon. If Eyelashes is watching, I will not be pissing on you. So I also just did a series with EE. It was the EE Power Up Program in partnership with Giant X. I've said that so many times, I could say it in my sleep. But it's actually a really cute concept. So listen, I'm not a gamer. I fucked about with a bit of Mario Kart. I've done Disney Dreamlight Valley. That was my kink for a while. You couldn't even speak to me. I was just like, I need to save the princesses. But I'm not a gamer, right? So it's basically a scheme or program to help women gamers in the industry, because women gamers get treated like shit. They all get like sexualized, and like people are really mean to them because they're women. Because obviously, you know, a lot of the time it's young boys who are fucking weird, and, you know, they're just, their humor's like, they like poo jokes. Do you know what I mean? Like, their humor's bottom barrel. So they're just rude little boys, and they're really rude to them. And the girls don't get given as much of a chance as they should be given, or, you know, they just can't play their games. Let the women play. So anyway, we get there, and it's all about, you know, there's six or seven girls, and they get taught, you know, how to look after themselves mentally, a good diet to play. Because when you're gaming, I'm sorry, you're not getting up and making a katsu. You don't have time. You must get back to Valorant. So actually, this woman, I want to say Emily English was her name. She made this like Thai green noodles. It was literally done in 5 seconds with prawns. It was so fucking good. I eat it every day because it's also good for you because it's got vegetables in it. Yeah, all of that. And then they went to like Belgium to go to this massive gaming thing. And they got to meet like people that they really look up to. It was just really sweet. And so I filmed that for 3 days, and it was so lovely. All the girls were really nice as well. Like, I made friends with them. They were all really sweet, and they were all like such different girls, but they all bonded because they all love this game, Valorant. I had a go at the game. I was shit, right? I had acrylics on. I couldn't press the space bar to shoot. It was tragic for me, but it was great. It was sensational. And yeah. What have I got going on? I've got a holiday. I'm going to Benidorm. Benidorm's hot. I'm going to Benidorm. I've never been to Benidorm before, but I'm hoping I can reenact my life like the show. I want to rent out an electric scooter. No, electric, what are they called? Nanny mobile. Like, I want to rent out a nanny mobile, and I want to fucking rock about the strip on the nanny mobile. I want to get wasted. I want to go on a jet ski. I want to get my tits out by the pool. I'm not going to do that because I am staying at a family hotel. But I just think how exciting. I've never been to Benidorm. To be fair, I've never ever thought about going to Benidorm either. It's never crossed my mind to be like, let's fucking have it large in Benidorm. But yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And I'm buzzing. I'm also going to Ibiza this year. I'm looking to go with the bags, Izzy. And I think it will be raucous. But I've still got a bit of PTSD from when I nearly drowned in Ibiza in the fountain. So I am a little bit scared. But I think it should be good. Where's Wayne Lineker when you need him? I'm going to drop a message. I'm going to be like, listen, Ocean, free table, because I don't really want to spend $5,000. And hope he takes me up on the offer. So you guys have been sending in some absolute mental stuff to me. So I'm going to once again go through it on the pod and talk you through your tragic lives. First one. I had sex with a guy at a 21st birthday party. There was an open bar, so the night was rather blurry, but I was sure I had taken my tampon out before. To my surprise, it fell out on Tuesday, 4 days later. Do you think I will see this guy again? I can't remember if this sex was good or whether my judgment was clouded. the next day because the tampon was still on my G-spot. Right. That's a crazy statement. One thing I will say about men is I doubt he even realised it was there. They can barely find the vagina. So for them to also find a tampon, I feel like is stretching it. I think, and also I think he would have been like, oh, what's that? What's that? Do you know what I mean? So surely you can sleep with him again. I mean, your pussy's probably mangled right now. Like, I can't even imagine the stench. The stench of that must be insane. And did you have to get it surgically? Because I know someone that she had to go to the hospital and the hospital had to get it out of her. Same thing when she was drunk. I had this fear the other day. I was like, I set an alarm on my phone to take out a tampon at 4 a.m. because I thought, I know I'm going to be coming back at 4 a.m. and I need to remember this. And I did it. But there also, if you don't remember the night, you're like, but did I? And then you're searching, digging for gold up there. It's a tragic time for all involved. But yeah, I hope you see him again. And I hope you just maybe don't wear a tampon. Good for you though. Free bars, what they're there for. I went through my mother's phone and she is subbing in a BDSM context for a rich French guy. For those who don't know, it's like, you know, I'm guessing the French man will be the daddy and she's the submissive one in the relationship, which is vile to think about your mum doing. Yes, sir. Ugh. He flew to Australia where we live and waited in his car till I, her 16-year-old son, oh, you're a boy, got home from school. It is so gross, but I need advice on what to do because she talks about me to him and sends him photos of me. It's so foul. Mum said she would pay for my uni though. So do I stay silent or be like secondhand pimped out? Right. So what I think you should do, I think you should blackmail your mum. I think you should be like, Mum, we're doing so well these days with money. Why? Wouldn't it be hilarious if you were actually just like a submissive for a rich French person and see her reaction? See if she shits herself. Then you don't have to say that you know, but you know. And therefore, she will know that you know. And you can just, you know, Mum, I want some new Jordans. Bam. She sent a titty pic to French man and you've got some new Jordans. I think this is a win-win. And if anything, respect your mum. Because not enough older women take advantage of old men. That's what they're there for. What are men here for? For us to take advantage of them. Don't love them. Take advantage of them. Nasty little creatures. Right. I'm a gay man. Gay rights. And I've been shagging this straight boy for 3 years. And he's now ended things as he's found a girl. He's blocked me on everything, but I can't stop thinking about being with him, seeing him every day. I've tried dating gays and other boys, but nothing is working. This is a common theme here. One of my best friends will only fuck straight men, specifically straight drug dealers. So that's the image that you've got in your head here. I think you're never going to get a relationship with a man that is saying he's straight. Because even if they do treat you like you're in a relationship, he'll never show you off or make you public, which is shit for you. Because, you know, what if you want to be wined and dined? What if you want to go to Nobu? You can't because he's in the closet. And also there's loads of gay men that are like, you know, like straight passing or whatever the term you want to use is. Like, actually, I've got one for you. DM me, I'll set you up. Because I was shocked. But yeah, I think maybe don't go for the straight men. I think they're all, you know, nothing good can come out of that. Exhibit A. I keep having, my parents keep asking me if I'm a virgin and say when I lose it to come and tell them. However, what they don't know is I slept with the family friend's son a while ago. He's the same age as me and he sneaks into my house regularly. I don't know how to tell them. Please help. Okay. It's just a bit weird that your parents want to know you've shagged. Do you know what I mean? I would never dream. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was pretty obvious when I'd lost my virginity, but why do they want to know? Maybe they want to get you a cake. Do it for the cake. I think you should walk into that room, point at your pussy and say, this pussy has been slayed. I am no longer a virgin. Mary who? I am a top shagger. I'm the village bike. You wanted to know, so I've told you. And see their reaction to that. And maybe the guy doesn't have to sneak around anymore. Is it weird that you're fucking him? Maybe. Because it's kind of like, family friends are kind of like family, but do you know what? It's legal in some countries. So, you know, if it's legal there, it's legal here, in my eyes. That sounded weird. Question. I was having this debate the other day. Have I said this on the pod before? We'll see. So, your third cousin, twice removed. He's back though, right? Your third cousin, you've never met him before. You didn't know it's your cousin, blah, blah. You're on a night out. You're on a night out. And this fucking god comes up to you, chiseled like a fucking, it's giving Zeus, Jesus, whatever his name is. Jesus? Zeus. Whoever the musty man is in Greece. Him, he comes up to you. This is the best looking man you've ever seen in your life. Blah, blah, you're chatting. You find out that he is your third cousin. Do you still fuck him? Because I've heard a lot of differing opinions. Some people would, some people wouldn't. And, you know, if they're never at your family barbecues, you probably never see them again, would you? Arguably, you may see them at a funeral. But I think, you know, if it's a funeral, the last thing you're thinking about is, I fucked my cousin. Well, maybe you are. Depends how close with a relative you were at the funeral. I think about a lot of things at funerals. 11-11, make a wish. Cool. So yeah, in answer to that, I don't even remember the question. Yeah, tell him you're not a virgin. I keep having sex dreams about this guy who I've never actually spoken to face to face. We have seen each other in our local pub, but never spoke. These dreams happen at least 3 times a week. And I honestly don't know what to do. I feel like I can't tell him yet, but what else can I do? I've also just started seeing someone who I'm sexually attracted to, but can't seem to get this other guy out of my dreams. Please help. You're giving baby reindeer. You've met in a pub and what? Now you're fucking him in your head. Right. Let's digest this. Sent from iPhone. I think you just need to fuck him. One time from a pum pum EA. I think you need to, I don't know why I said that. I think you just need to fuck him once, right? Go into that pub, have a bottle of Prosecco before so you're feeling loose. Go into the Prosecco and say, I want to fuck you. Maybe don't say that. Maybe just say, hey, like, I always see you in here. Like, do you live around here? Blah, blah. Get talking. Get him drunk. Fuck. And then it will probably be just as disappointing. So then you can get over that. You're seeing this person. They don't have to know. They don't have to know. Have they wifed you off yet? No. So sleep with someone. And I think that will help. But the sex dreams are crazy. Maybe you're a stalker in like, I don't know. Are you a jealous person? Unsure. I don't really have sex dreams. Once I had a crazy one about Johnny Depp, and that's what started my obsession with Johnny Depp. I was like, we fucked. And it was magical. I don't really remember it, but I remember waking up being like, Johnny. And then I drunk messaged him for 2 months, but that's completely off topic. And he definitely didn't see it. Okay. I'm still in love with my ex. We broke up nearly a year ago. Anytime we bump into each other and no one else is around, it's like we never broke up and the flirting is 10-10. All I want to do is rip his clothes off. Jesus. But then when he's around his mates, he's a completely different person. I'd love to know he wants to get back together, but how do I find out without sounding desperate? What the fuck is wrong with you? I feel like an ex is an ex for a reason, right? Fuck all the films where they split up and they find each other 20 years later. Fuck that. I would rather be nailed to the cross, set alight, spanked, punched in the face, all my hair pulled out one by one, each eyebrow pulled out one by round, slapped again on the face, Botox put in me, Botox dissolved out of me, and fisted by The Rock, than ever go back to an ex. That is so stupid. And also, if he's different around his mates, he's a cock. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's very mean. That's very muggy. That's like a statement saying you're a prick. I just think, no, don't ever do it. Block him. Go no contact. I'll say this. If eyelashes ever breaks up with me, I will be begging. But don't ever do that. That's a silly thing to do. And when you think about it, like, there actually is plenty fish in the sea. There's so many fish, there's so many men, you could go lesbian. You could do whatever you want. You could fuck your third cousin twice removed. You can do what you want. You don't need to stay hung up on this man. I just think, yeah, what's that about? And also, I think as soon as you block them and stop seeing them, better things will come to you. Go to Ibiza. Go to Ibiza. Go to Magaluf. Go to Mallorca. Go to Benidorm. I'll see you in Benidorm. I'll hook you up with someone. I don't know who. The man that owns the shop. I don't know, but I'll hook you up with someone. Plenty more cock in the vagina for you, hopefully. Wish you well. I was just talking about the sea recently because we were saying, what would you like to come back as if you were reincarnated? And obviously I said sloth. Like, what a dream. You just sleep. You've got like baddie nails, like they're long, they're like acrylics, mold growing on you. So you obviously don't wash, which, to be honest with you, easy life. Yeah. And then someone else said, because Eyelashes once adopted, she still has adopted a stingray called Miss Keisha. So on her wall, it's the certificate of Miss Keisha, her stingray she adopted. And they were like, I'd love to come back as a stingray. And I thought, to come back as anything in the sea is fucked up because you're always part of a food chain. You're always worried, am I going to get fucking eaten? Constantly, people snorkeling around you, looking at you, getting choked by plastic because we litter. And if you're not on the food chain, it means you're down in the depths of the dark sea. I am not fucking with the dark sea. You can't see anything. There's horrible big creatures, whales, mammoths, all down there. And it just seems really scary. I don't like the sea. I think the sea is so fucked up. I don't like space. I don't like the sea. Anything that's hard to get to, or has got, isn't it true that we only know what 20% of what's in the ocean? Hello? What else is in there? There is shit the size of dinosaurs in the Atlantic. And I don't like that. I like watching Below Deck. I like seeing people on the sea. As soon as it comes to getting in, I don't fuck about. And why are people so chilled out about jellyfish stings? Just piss on me. No, that is horrible. You've got a blob of electricity in the ocean that sparks you out. That's just, I've got anxiety. I need a drink. It's just the thought of it is making me spiral. Even when I last went on a jet ski, I said, if you flip me off, I promise you, you thought Kim K was bad in that ocean, I will start a war. I will swim to the shore in record time. It's giving Vanessa Phelps. Anyway, sorry, I went off on there about I actually don't think I'm that scared of flying anymore. I think I'm cured from flying. I think the other day when I went to Scotland there and back, I sat there and I thought, I'm fine. I'm fine. I looked out the window. I looked to my right. I looked at the trolley. I listened to some music. And I was fine. Granted, the flight was an hour, so there wasn't much stress to be had. But I remember thinking, no, and I'm getting used to all the sounds now. When the wheels come out, it sounds like we're going down. You know, there's, so when you take off, there's one beep, the dun, and that means, right, flight attendant, sort your shit out. They get up, they start doing all the trolley, they start tea or coffees, all of that. And I thought when that first went off, that's an alarm bell, we're going down. And then the second ding is the seatbelt sign coming off. Although one thing I will say, if you ever fly from London City Airport, I thought we were on a fucking seaplane. Why is it over the Thames? It's like an island. And then as soon as we took off, we just fucking did a hard right. We were literally like this, parallel. I looked down, I could see London Eye. I could touch London Eye. And I thought, this feels very extreme, but I didn't freak out. And that is, for me, great. I think, get me to Bahamas, get me on a seaplane, I can do whatever. Don't get me on a helicopter. But yeah, I think I'm cured. Maybe it's being in love. If I die, I die in love. And I'm fine with that. So yeah, don't think I've got any other life updates. Right, guys, that's it from me. I think I've chatted enough shit today, and that's completely fine. If you're watching, give it a like and subscribe. If you're listening, give it a follow and a 5-star review. Love you. Bye.